Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On this week's episode of Barbecue and Tech, we'll do a little follow-up on our smoked pork belly, and then we're going to jump back into a little bit about chicken and waffles and what Mr. Ashley has discovered. I'm your host, Rod Simmons, joined by my partner and crime co-host, Chris Ashley. What up, man?
What up, what up, what up?
All right. So I can attest, at least in my household, because I know you asked, because you brought over some of the smoked pork belly.
Of course. And I share the love.
They said, of all the things you've ever made in your life, they don't know how you had such a foul and error on. No, I'm just kidding. They really enjoyed it. It's definitely super rich.
Yes. Yes.
It's not a bad thing. But I do think the larger sizes that you went to, they wind up cutting them into smaller sizes because it was too rich for one bite. That was at least our assessment.
Yep. So as a recap, I had grabbed a pork belly from Costco, nice size one, made sure it was nice and even across the top. Didn't really do much to it. I simply cut it in half because I wanted to cook it two different ways. I wanted to treat one as a brisket. One half of it is a brisket. So that means I put the nice rub on the outside. I wrapped it in foils and actually double wrapped it. Cause I've never done it before, but, Heath Riles had did that in his video, props to him. And so I said, let me give it a shot. Not sure if I noticed anything immensely different. But I would assume it's still better than wrapping in butcher paper because of all the oil that comes off of the pork belly. But with that said, it cooked down great. The flavor was there. I think that would be an excellent way to make some pork belly sandwiches. Maybe you go ahead and make a BLT out of it, but it's like a smoked pork belly versus just using, crispy bacon. I think they would have been really good, on some nice bread, on a nice roll. And then, I'd probably use a roll. It, it has enough thickness and fat and hardiness to taste that I don't think, just using sliced bread would have been the move. I think a full on roll, but anyway, it was enjoyable. I gave some to one of my friends. I gave some to my partner here, Rod, and the kids got some. Now the other side, the other half of the pork belly, I did as a burnt end, but I wanted to be a bit more, creative, if you will. And instead of making little tiny cubes of, meat candy, I made some tiny ones, but I made some bigger squares of it. And what I was my thought process was, just use a square as a meal, put it in the middle of maybe some mashed potatoes or some type of veggie or something like that. Instead of just having to grab a bunch of small pieces, you have this thicker piece. And it's one of the things I love about doing barbecue is the trial and error of it. Because, oftentimes it just hits, but this was not it. this was not it. And the flavor was there. The taste was there. But as Rod mentioned, I found out for myself and my other buddy who he had a different reason for wanting smaller pieces, but he was like, the big pieces just don't work for him as much as he would expected it to. And he wanted that kind of that more bite size deliciousness all the way around, not, you know, pulling it apart and then, you know, swirling it around and whatever sauce and juices are coming out of it. So that makes 100% sense. It's definitely, you know, when you're eating like a burnt end, you pop that whole thing in your mouth and it just all goes at once. But when you have that thicker piece, you know, it's not the same. For me, definitely way too decadent of a piece of meat. And, you know, once I heat it up and it's on my plate, I'm coming downstairs. I'm not going back upstairs to put it away. You know what I mean? I'm not going to throw it away. And so it's just like, all right, you got to power through this. And it's not like I made these giant, giant cubes. They were literally maybe an inch and a half by an inch and a half. But even that for pork belly was way too much, way too much.
Yep. I agree.
For one serving. Now slicing that, you know, making slices off of that probably would have been great. But you know, I was happy with the flavor and the taste, but yeah, the execution as far as, the final product was not the move. So anyway, we live for trial and error. We do these things cause you know, we want to get better at stuff. So, yeah. And I was pretty content with the texture of it too. Cause I was concerned that smoking it with the fat side up, cause that's a really thick layer of a fat, could potentially pose an issue, but in the end, I felt like it, rendered pretty well. You know, the fat really just, whatever was left kind of just melted as soon as you bit into it. So overall, I mean, I'm okay with what happened with it, but, definitely could, find ways to make it better, in the future. And, you know, whether it's slicing that whole thing off after I cook it like that, because the one thing about having the cubes and putting it in the sauce is the caramelization of the sauce with the pork, right? There's nothing like pork and sugar. So, you know, the fact that those two could caramelize together really created a great bite and a great flavor. It was just two bites and you're like, oh God, how am I going to get through this?
It's not hard for as an individual to take a look at it and say, all right, I just got to cut this down a little bit more. It's unfortunately a little too, if you will, rich for me.
Yeah. Yep.
But I definitely think it's totally doable.
Yeah, for sure. And I've, like I said, I've done the regular burn ends, came out great, but, yeah, this was overthinking, gone too far. So, that's that. So,
all right. Chicken and waffles, my favorite, one of my favorite subjects,
one of my all-time favorite meals.
Can I tell you why?
Do tell.
When you first said chicken and smoked waffles, I was like,
yeah, smoked chicken and waffles.
Sorry, smoked chicken. Sorry, when you first said smoked chicken and waffles, I don't want to say I have a Southern upbringing. So I don't want to say I had a revolting experience with the statement. I understood where you were going, but I was like, the first thing I struggled with is there's a breakdown in the contrast of what you typically get with fried chicken and waffles.
Yep.
Which is with a waffle, it tends not to be as over time, no matter how you cook a waffle, unless you're doing a truly traditional Belgian waffle, which tends to be a very, I don't want to say heavy, but probably not. Maybe if it's traditional, like you're getting, it's not the most ideal for this type of scenario. Mm-hmm. You run into soft and soft. And the nice thing about fried chicken is you get kind of that crispy chicken, that soft waffle.
With there's a contrast between
syrup
the two.
In it. It's just
with the melding of the syrup. Yeah, the syrup kind of pulls them both together.
Correct.
And I was sitting
making some chicken and waffles right now.
And you know, typically you use like a nice chicken tender. Although I've had it with like a nice fried chicken breast.
Wait, did you say chicken tender?
Fried chicken tender. That's
who the
definitely,
hell is that?
Oh, that's very common.
It's just ridiculous. Northerners do that.
Well, damn, what's the spot in Baltimore?
Southerners would find themselves doing that.
What's the spot in Baltimore? That really great breakfast spot.
Yeah, and they just make the Mason-Dixon line. And I think you're talking about Miss Shirley's.
Miss Shirley's in Baltimore, they definitely do tenders. Yeah. It's very common. But But there was a place in New York that I went to when I went to a friend's wedding. No, no, no. They did fried chicken.
Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah.
They probably had someone from the South come up and teach them. Right? That's all I'm saying.
So I've had it both ways. I enjoy it both ways. Right. I think that, obviously the default would be like a nice big fat feast of fried chicken. But,
yes,
you know, these days I try to eat healthier as much as possible, even though fried chicken is not as bad as people may think it is, if it's fried properly.
Correct. But I think I over time, I came around to your thinking that, well, the waffle isn't necessarily a waffle. It's kind of like a half between a waffle, a little bit of that cornbread mix so that it further complements that. And honestly, with the skin on the chicken, you could probably give it a little bit of time underneath like a kind of
hot. Well, I did skinless for this. So that
you did skinless. Okay.
I did do skinless. So I didn't want to have to worry about trying to achieve, you know, that crispy skin. So I did skinless, and there's room for interpretation as far as, whether I'd want to give it a flash fry after it's smoked.
Yep.
But what I said was I kind of took a step back and I said, okay, what is the main enjoyment when I eat a chicken and waffle? And it is, as you mentioned, the contrast, between the two that come together and just create an experience. And so I said, okay, let me see if I can create a contrast between the chicken and waffle that is in between the smoked chicken and the waffle that I do. And see if I can still have a nostalgic feeling, but in a different manner. So the first thing I had to do was like, all right, let's make a decent waffle. And at first I was going to go and make it from scratch, but because I'm in experimenting mode, I was like, that doesn't make sense. Let me just use a mix, and then go from there. And you know, I've had plenty of experience making, pancake batter, waffle batter. And honestly, there's not much difference between a pancake batter and a waffle batter.
Sorry. As someone who makes waffles, I disagree, but we'll go with it. I know what you mean.
Much different. They both have eggs. They both have flour. They both have bacon. So, I mean, literally 90% of the ingredients are exactly the same. The one big difference with waffles is they tend to be fattier. So you're adding an oil, you're adding butter. You don't really do that in pancakes inside the pancake mix, but with a waffle, you want to add. And in fact, if you know, one of our favorite, mixes is the Krusty's mix. They make a really good mix. And I think a lot of restaurants use it as well.
Krusty's? What's that?
Yeah. It's a waffle. It's a pancake mix.
Oh, it's a box.
We buy giant bags of it. Okay. Especially when the grandkids are up, they love pancakes. So, but yeah, they make a really good, they have a really decent mix. And
that's my heart right now.
That's what I mean, dude, I've made pancake batter for hundreds of people. I promise you, you've never done that. And if you had, you'd probably be on my boat on my side of the house. It's nothing like going in a restaurant 5 o'clock in the morning and whipping up a freaking bucket of pancake batter. Yeah, no, I'm good. From scratch, because obviously we're not using mixes there. We're doing it from scratch. And I've had my share.
I make pancakes probably at least once a week for my kids.
Yeah, you are the pancake king. And I'm glad you enjoy it. You do it on such a small scale. And
you're doing it on a small scale now, to be fair.
Now. But that doesn't change. That's like, you know, my aversion to washing dishes, right? That started years ago.
From my childhood, I'm still scarred.
Childhood, you know, so, but anyway, I use the Krusty's. And so, you know, you can follow the instructions on there pretty well, toss in an egg and whatever. But, you know, for me, I'm pretty still adept at assessing the consistency that I want in the batter. Yeah. And that's what I did. And so, you know, basic smoked chicken and waffle. And what I did with the smoked chicken is I used my new jerk rub that I've been working on. So it had a lot of heat to it. It had a lot of depth of flavor to it. And I think it was really like the perfect thing. And the other aspect of it, it was using, I just bought a batch of thighs. I just bought a whole container of thighs, because the reality is, you know, everything works when it comes to smoking chicken. But thighs just are the bee's knees of smoked chicken. It just holds up well in the smoker. It has enough fat to give it a lot of flavor. It's just really, really works. So that's what I did. I bought some boneless thighs to make my life easy. Now, so really was focusing more on the waffle. I knew I had the chicken down pat, but it was focusing on the waffle. And man, there's, for anybody that hasn't really looked into, you know, what constitutes a waffle, you know, there is a lot to the different styles of waffle. And ultimately, I wanted to do a Belgian waffle. But I don't have a Belgian cook. I have one on order, but I don't have one yet. So we had a regular old little waffle maker, and surprisingly, it actually did really, really well. I was pretty happy with it.
So you know what I found with if you're going to go the true Belgian waffle style, what I found the one key ingredient to be, and I struggled with it for a while, and I talked to a friend who
You mentioned this. Go ahead.
Had a friend from Belgium, and she said the secret is. Where typical recipes call for, you know, you have your milk or your buttermilk or whatever you're putting in it, and your yogurt and all that stuff. But where it calls for water, rather than using still water, which is what anybody in the U.S. is used to using, actually use sparkling water.
Yep. You said that creates a better crust, a little crispiness. Yep.
That was the difference maker. And I did not know that. I have tried it. And at least for me, that for the water element of the recipe, that was successful. I'm going to be very honest, and it's not a snob comment here. I cannot speak to when it comes to like a box mixes. I can't tell you the last time I've ever used a box mix for waffles or pancakes, but I know that if you're just going right to the, you know, flour, eggs, and all the ingredients you need for that, then I think you'll be safe.
Yeah. So, you know, we're actually speaking from two different perspectives, because I have no problem with a good box mix of certain things, and pancake is definitely one of them. You know, you talk to me about box mashed potatoes, you might get a shin kick.
Did I tell you the story of when the first time before my wife and my wife, when she's my girlfriend, and I brought her over and I cooked for her. Did I ever tell you that story?
I know the story, but some of the listeners, man,
everybody here must hear this. So, this is years back now, before my wife was my wife, I had her over and I cooked dinner for her because I like to cook. So she came over, cooked, and she's like, God, these potatoes are really good. What kind are they? And I'm like, Idaho? Like, just not literally understanding what she's asking. She's like, no. I mean, what box did you get them from? The look of disgust on my face at that woman at that point in time, I'm still shocked I married her. I didn't really understand. I was like, I had never at that point in time, mind you, I'm in my probably early 20s. I'd never heard of boxed potatoes.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, what box brand are these potatoes? Because that's how her mother always made potatoes. I was like, no. And I pulled out a potato. I was like, it is a potato. It's not any made up garbage. And to this day, we still joke and laugh about the fact that she could not fathom that I made potatoes with potatoes
from scratch. Yeah. Yeah. No, I've worked a lot of different lines and cafeterias and restaurants and stuff. So I'm quite familiar with box mashed potatoes. But once I got into the cafes, that was not a thing. We did it from scratch using red potatoes, and we left the skin in for the aesthetic of it. So, but anyway, so getting back to the mix. So what I set out to do was add a little bit, I guess, kind of heavier feel to the waffle. So I double checked, because oftentimes when I have an idea, I do a quick search to see if anybody else is doing the same thing. And as it turns out, it's a very common thing in the South to add cornmeal to their waffles. Mm-hmm. It is not uncommon. And that's what I wanted to do, because what I wanted from my waffle was for it to stand up a bit on its own, a little bit sweeter than what the normal, you know, waffle may be, even though, you know, waffles have a little bit of sweetness to it. But because of that corn flavor. But then I felt like between the smoked chicken and the waffle, it would contrast it very well. and give a great taste. And then the final spot was to, you know, typically you would put that maple syrup on top. But for me, it was like, got to do a barbecue sauce on top with, you know, but I, what I did was I did a sweeter barbecue sauce. So I actually took some barbecue, some sweet baby rays, and I added some honey to it.
Ooh, yeah.
To make it a little bit sweeter.
A little more pop, yeah.
Give it more pop, right. And then, you know, if you go to Instagram, I posted a really cool video of smoking that waffle and putting it together. It came out really good. It was my first time ever doing anything. Shout out to Chandra, who was my inspiration, because every time she posts a video of one of the foods she makes, and you know, if you want to see some awesome cooking, y'all need to check out her Instagram. She is an amazing cook, and I can't wait to get her back on this on podcast, and so she can talk about some of the new stuff she's doing. But anyway, you know, it came out really, really good. And I was quite happy with the combination of the smoked chicken and the smoked chicken thigh and the waffle. But what I did was I used a traditional waffle. Now, I did say I have on order a nice Belgian waffle maker. And really the difference between the two, for anyone who's ever just wondering, first off, the obvious is the Belgian waffle has much deeper pockets on it than the traditional waffle. But it also, a lot of folks, when they make their Belgian waffles, and Rod is quite famous for this, they'll actually take a technique where they separate the egg yolk from the white, and then they'll whip up the whites to make it really fluffy.
Yeah, medium peaks, yeah.
Yeah, and then you don't mix it in with your batter. You fold it, right? It in.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and how long do you do that for? Is it just
till you for see folding
just
it in?
Yeah, it's just
until you get that incorporated. Because what you're trying to do is you're introducing air into the batter,
yeah,
which makes your waffles a bit more fluffy, more airy.
Yeah.
So I think it's mainly incorporating it into the batter, and you'll see like the volume of what you have almost looks, if you do it right, it almost looks like it doubles, even because the heavy dough that's been sitting at the bottom now has all this airy content in there. And the key is that you need to be able to crank out waffles, I'd say, relatively quickly. So typically I'll do, when I make waffles for my kids, I might make 15 to 20 waffles at a time. And
what do you know waffle maker you have?
I can find it pretty quickly.
Yeah. Is it a Belgian or is it a traditional?
I have both.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I think it's the Brunei or something like that is the name brand. I'm pretty sure they're both the same name brand. I got them both at Williams Sonoma. My Belgian waffle maker is actually, I don't say it's on the fritz, it's on its way out, because it is, I've had that waffle maker for almost 20 years. It is the one that I'm ready to replace, just because it doesn't matter how much you clean our waffle maker, as you know, over the years, it's just like, ugh, I'm ready to get rid of it. But, and it's not as, I guess, nonstick as it once was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have two. I have just a traditional waffle maker and a Belgian waffle maker. I pretty much 99% of the time use my traditional because I'm tired of fighting with the Belgian waffle maker.
Makes sense.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So for me, I've had plenty of experiences making waffles. If you ever gone to an upscale buffet where you have the cook that makes the omelets to order.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I've been on the other side of that, making the actual omelets. And then
don't tell me you use boxed eggs as well there. Of course you do.
Oh no, dude, you don't know cooking until you've cracked a case of eggs.
I've been at those places where they actually, it's real eggs. They're just pouring. They're like, why should I sit here and scramble this thing up for you when I could just pour it out of a box, which is, it's eggs.
I've done no both, but I promise you, I have had a case of eggs where I've had to crack every single egg and then to mix up, you know, your egg mix, whether it be for the line where you're making omelets or stuff like that. Because when you're making omelets, you're not I'm cracking eggs to scratch, you know, unless you're making an over easy or something like that. But most of the times especially in omelet station, you need that omelet. You need those egg already ready to go. So it's in a container with a ladle that you can just ladle it right into your pan and go. So I've been that guy who's made the omelets, but I've also been the waffle guy, and I've also been both guy. Yeah, where you got to work two stations. So hundreds and hundreds of waffles I've made, you know, for folks. So one of the key differences, because the waffle maker that I have kind of more relies on the rise of the batter. And because you put it in, you close it up quickly and it kind of fills in. You want to pour in the middle for sure, but don't just pour in the middle and be like, that's going to spread evenly. Right. You definitely want to pour in the middle of the waffle maker. But then, you know, if you see it edging more one way, go ahead and pour some to the other side, or just pull it back with the ladle. Because there's nothing worse than a lopsided waffle. I was using a traditional, oil spray, and that worked fine. However, there is probably a more professional spray you can use. And it's called Vegeline. And this is something that a lot of restaurants use because it doesn't have the buildup, which is what you're experiencing now, mm-hmm. that like, you know, you would get from just a typical spray butter. This is more of a professional aerosol can, and it definitely doesn't build up on the on your devices as much as the other one. So I did order that and figured I'd put that out there with this episode that you can try this if anybody wants to go down a route and try a smoked chicken and waffle for themselves. Now the other part is when you use or you're doing a Belgian waffle and you do that waffle, most of the times, if you're doing it right, you have a waffle maker that flips over.
Oh, is that what you ordered?
Yes.
Ooh. So yes. It's like when you get up one morning and you go downstairs at the hotel and they have the waffle makers that flip over.
There you go. So I ordered the real deal Holyfield from Vivor. And essentially this is the, you know, it has like a nice deep pan for the waffle mix. But not only that, it does rotate over so that I can then make sure what happens is that batter that hits the bottom side initially starts to hit. And then when you flip it over, it kind of spreads and that creates like a nice fluffiness in the middle of the waffle that you come to expect. Now, the cool thing about this is it actually has a temperature control. This is why I ordered it as well. And, you know, once I use it for a while, we'll go back and revisit and let folks know. But this thing is, it has a 1300 watt. And the one thing that you definitely want to do, whether you're making one or you're making multiples, is you want that thing to be as hot as possible. Yeah. You need when that batter hits, it needs to crisp up that batter immediately. And the biggest mistake I think people make when they're making waffles is they don't let this thing heat up, or they let the first one heat up, but they pour the next one in
right after they pull it out. Yeah, the problem is you think it's ready because you took one out and it's like, it's
still hot. It's burning your fingers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But you almost have to close the waffle maker and let it almost cycle again. And this is where, when you and I were talking at one time about waffles, I said, you almost need two waffle makers so that you can kind of be moving between the two at any point in time, because it one, as soon as you make one, it's almost cooled down. It will get hot pretty quickly, but that's what drives me crazy about making waffles. My kids are like, do you want to make waffles or pancakes? I'm like, pancakes. Cause I can go out to the Blackstone, drop down 8 pancakes,
all of them down, flip,
done. By the time I pull them all off, the 8 off, I can drop 8 more because the Blackstone is immediately hot again. Where the waffle maker, it's like one waffle, 2 waffles. Where I usually, if they come up, they see me make waffles, I like come back in like a half hour. I need to get ahead of you eating hungry beasts before I start rolling out waffles. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple of reasons why I ordered this Vivor one, and it should be here in 2 days. But one was the fact that it had a temperature control. So oftentimes you're trying to guess how done the waffle is, or it has a timer on it. When you close it, it'll, you know, beep when it's ready. But being able to control the temperature means, you know, no matter how long you have it in there, you can get a certain doneness that you prefer on your waffle. So that was one thing. The two was the pan was so much deeper, because, you know, sometimes you get overzealous and you put a little bit too much batter. And I really hate when the batter starts pouring out the side of the waffle maker. It just means that I didn't pour well. So I get annoyed with myself when it comes to that. So the fact that the pans were deeper and can kind of prevent against that is another reason why I opted for this bad boy. Just to recap, the main trick you want to do when you're making a great waffle to go along with your smoked chicken is you want to wait in between putting the next one in. It doesn't take long. It probably takes about a good 30 seconds before it comes back up to temp. Yep. And then go ahead and put that next one in there. So, you know, the reason why I wanted to go with the,
I looked at a photo of your waffle maker. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's real.
You could run a restaurant off of this thing.
That would be nice, right?
If you, jeez, you know,
do
Louise,
something like this and throw it on your menu.
But where are you going to, so as much as I like this, the first thing I think of is storage.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to build a shelf or something for sure.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, it's not overly massive. It's just, I have a lot of stuff in my kitchen already. So,
yeah.
But you want to make real waffles, you gotta step the game up. So I'm so excited because essentially what's going to happen is as soon as this bad boy comes in, I'm smoking another batch of chickens and I'll make it. And, you know, and I'm just trying to decide between, like, the way I presented it the first time was I took the entire thigh, laid it on top of the waffle. And then what I did is I took some wet jerk and dolloped it on top. And then I took some barbecue sauce and spooned it on top as well. And that, like I said, it was really good to cut into. My mom, who is a crazy, crazy picky eater, destroyed it. You know, my daughter, mm-hmm. she loved it. So, yeah, it just eating a waffle by itself was really good, too. And it actually reheated well, too. So even though I had them in the refrigerator, the next day I was able to take it out and just.
That is a classic thing. If you have a toaster oven.
Yeah.
Or just use your regular oven. Do not heat waffles in the microwave.
Yeah, there's no need for that. All I did was because I'm not averse to, you know, cold food, as many people are. So I just kind of took a pan and just threw it in the pan real quick and stung the outside of it.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was good enough for me. But definitely a toaster oven would have been fantastic. Or you could even, you know, broke it into the individual quarters and maybe toss it into a toaster itself. Yeah, but yeah, don't microwave your life. And folks, as another tip, you can definitely make a batch of waffles and then freeze them.
Yes, you can.
And then put them in, you know, your toaster or whatever, or a toaster oven later on and, you know, revisit it later. So that's definitely a viable thing to do. So don't sleep on that aspect as well. But I liked that combination. But the only thing that I felt was the waffle was too thin, right? From what I did. So I'm excited to try this again. And Krusty's, they not only have a traditional,
is that probably the brand? Cause I every time you say it, I want to laugh. Cause I'm thinking like Krusty the clown from, what's that show?
Yeah. They make everything. Krusty's makes everything. And, they have their cornbread mix. They have their pancake mix. They have,
I feel like I'm learning about a new brand here.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't. Well, I'm not that surprised, but
wow. I definitely have never seen this brand. That is hilarious. I'll put a link in for those who maybe there's a lot of Krusty's fans out here that they're laughing that I'd have never heard of this one. But
well, he likes to make his stuff from scratch. But I mean, they have
lemon. She didn't say Bisquick.
Lemon cake. Nah, Bisquick, I'm not a huge fan of. They have sourdough mix. They have vanilla bread, pound cake mix. They have muffin mix. They have everything. They make it all. You know, cookies, they make it all.
Yeah. And it's funny because everything you literally have said is everything I would make from scratch.
Yeah. Lemon bars. You know, my mother-in-law makes excellent lemon bars.
But from Krusty's?
No, I don't. I think she makes hers from
scratch. I was going to say, sure she doesn't make lemon bars. Krusty's makes it. She just follows a recipe.
No, she makes them from scratch. But yeah, so. Again, I'm not interested. So I grabbed their Belgian waffle mix. So I'm going to mix up a batch of that this week. And then I will recap this new version. And I may this time around, actually, I'll probably take one thigh and air fry it real quick. And I'll probably take one and flash fry it into oil real quick just to see if the texture enhances the experience of the smoked thigh or not for me.
Right.
Because, you know, sometimes it's like it tastes a little bit better, but that's something I would do for myself. I'm not making like 35 of those. You know what I mean? For the family. It's like it's a bridge too far. So it is something to think about. You know, sometimes you're trying to think about the process of making something.
Right.
And is what you're getting in the end worth the effort, you know? As opposed to, yeah, if you're doing something for yourself, treat yourself. Do what you got to do. But, and do your family prefer the Belgian over the regular waffle or?
They prefer that I make them. That's about it.
That's about the extent of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, I was kind of looking at the history of the Belgian waffle and it seems like it really was meant to be made more of like a sandwich as opposed to just eating as a waffle itself. So it kind of lends itself to make it, you know, to what I'm trying to do here with this barbecue thing, and make this awesome barbecue delight. So, and the other aspect of it too, is, you know, I considered trying it with some version of a maple syrup, but I just couldn't pull the trigger on it. I really felt like that was reserved for fried chicken.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then it could experiment with different type of sauces too. You know, maybe like a brown sugar, maple brown sugar barbecue sauce.
Yeah, I can say from, I was fortunate enough during many years of traveling of being in Belgium. And I do remember someone just handed me like, you know, kind of like almost a piece of, I don't want to say wax paper, but maybe like just a little piece of paper with a Belgian waffle in it at a street stand. And the very traditional way of it, it was just, I don't say it's finger food, but it definitely wasn't, the breakfast. It was like just a
snack.
Yeah. A snack. And it was.
Yeah. Some of my favorite experiences have been eating street food in other countries and, you know, obviously you're playing with fire sometimes, but the one that I will never forget is my mother and I went to Jamaica and I, you know, it was late at night. I was like, I'm going to get out of the apartment because, you know, we were just having fun and hanging out together and visiting family and stuff. And there was a club right up the street from the hotel I was staying at, a pretty popular one. So I was like, I'm going to check it out. So I got dressed, went up to the club, had a beer, hung out, had a great time. Just watched, I mean, they were going crazy in there. The DJ was tearing the place up and I was just chilling. I was just kind of taking it all in. And then I decided, all right, it's time for me to go. Let me go back. And as I was heading out, there was a cat who was pushing a cart and he had a bucket and then he had a grill. And then he had like a cutting board that sat on top of the cart. And essentially the bucket was full of jerk chicken.
Not a cooler, but a bucket.
A bucket.
What could possibly go wrong?
And he had the grill going and he was firing up those chickens on the grill. And then what he would do is he would put it on the on the cutting board with hard dough bread, which is a very popular Jamaican bread that we eat almost with everything: breakfast, lunch, dinner, sandwiches, non sandwiches by itself, with butter, without, doesn't matter. It's like a hard, it's like a very heavy bread.
Yeah.
And what he did was he would take the jerk chicken and like he had a cleaver where he would just cut that thing into like right through the bone, different pieces, put it on the hard dough bread, wrap it up in foil, and that's how he sold it. And so I bought some, and when I say it smelled delightful, I was like, oh man, this is going to be good. And I got in back into the hotel room. My mother was sleeping, so I sat on the floor and I woke her up with how I was destroying that chicken. I was like, good God, this is good. Yeah. And she was like, what's going on? What are you doing? I was like, I mean, it was so good. Had that charring on there from the grill. It had a deep flavor for the jerk. It was crazy how good that was. And I couldn't open the foil enough.
It's the kind of eating you have to do in darkness when no one can see the savage nature of how you
right want to eat exactly food. Right. You come up mouthful of grease and a shame, head full of shame. It's like, what did I just do to this thing?
All right, man. Well, hey, look, this has been a great episode. You guys got a little history lesson on both of us, but definitely some of our lessons learned with the smoked pork belly and chicken waffles. I want to remind everybody that we do have a sponsor. Mason Dixon Barbecue is being super good to us. And I think we are getting ready to get access to a number of smokers that Chris and I will be testing over the next little bit.
Yes.
Hopefully in time for some of you guys for your holiday purchases. And if you hear something you want, you'll make sure that you at least order it from Mason Dixon. But if there's some feedback of, hey, could you please make sure if you have access to this smoker, you test those first, just hit Chris up or hit us up on Discord.
Whether it be a brand or a style.
Yeah, we'd really like to know about that. But we're definitely going to be getting into testing some of these smokers in the short haul here. And again, for your barbecue needs, if you want to head over to Mason Dixon Barbecue, there's always a link in the show notes so that you can head over there. When you buy something and you say, heard about it on the Barbecue and Tech podcast, it really does help us out maintaining this sponsorship so that they'll continue to give us access to equipment for us to test. And they're giving us access to equipment. Let me be very clear. They're not giving us equipment. So we get the equipment, we test it, and we actually do get it back to them. So this is not it's mainly just a good partnership with a local company.
Yeah. Saves us from having to buy stuff and put it somewhere. And the other thing is, I mentioned it last week. I've been taking old episodes and posting them on YouTube, and they're actually coming out pretty good. So, you're bored, or if you're not, by all means, please head over to YouTube and subscribe to the channel if you're not already subscribed, and take a look at the videos because you can kind of see some of the fun, the facial expressions during some of these stories and stuff like that.
Definitely some timeless content going up there. So,
and if you're wondering why I'm doing the old episodes, because I'm practicing. I don't know what I'm doing with this stuff, with this video editing. I'm barely functional with it. So I decided to start with the old episodes, and soon enough, I'll make my way to the new episode, this season, and get those up as well.
Until next episode, thanks for sticking with us. We have a lot of personal things going on over the next couple weeks, so we do apologize if an episode comes up late here or there, but we're going to do our best to get this season wrapped. I would say that Chris and I are going to have an episode about Thanksgiving of how we're planning together.
Oh, we definitely will plan.
We'll still have an episode. It'll just be that how we plan apart.
Yes.
We'll call it sellout. And on that note, we'll call this episode a wrap. You guys take care. Peace.
Peace.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.